Oliver plunged from a fourth-floor window and landed on concrete, yet walked away without a single broken bone. This Bernese mountain dog seemed perfect when he first arrived, affectionate, gentle, well-behaved. But the moment his owners left, he transformed into a creature possessed by panic. He'd howl, destroy furniture, pace frantically. The separation anxiety became so unbearable that he chose a four-story drop over being alone. His survival sparked a question that would reshape how we understand animal minds. If animals can suffer psychological breaks severe enough to drive them toward self-destruction, what does that reveal about the emotional landscape they inhabit? This incident launched an exploration into a hidden world of animal mental health, a realm where elephants grieve themselves to death, dolphins may choose to stop breathing, and gorillas need Prozac to cope with captivity. The journey challenges a comfortable fiction we've maintained, that psychological suffering is uniquely human, that consciousness and emotion are our exclusive domain. Charles Darwin's 1872 documentation of animal emotions, disappointment in dogs, grief in elephants, contentment in cats, even laughter in orangutans, profoundly challenged human exceptionalism. By 1874, he declared animals possess passions, affections, and emotions and are liable to insanity, though far less often than in the case of man. Scottish physician William Lowder Lindsay expanded this work, documenting dementia, delusions, and melancholia across species, arguing these conditions warranted study for both resembling human disorders and posing public health threats. Behaviorist dogma buried this perspective for decades, treating animals as biological machines. But the past 50 years have witnessed a scientific return to Darwin's insights. Jane Goodall's expressive chimpanzees, whale songs, elephant grief rituals, all demolished the notion of unfeeling automatons. Neurosurgeon Phil Weinstein, whose Australian shepherd developed canine Alzheimer's, explained simply, "The neurological hardware for emotional states exists across species, with similar potential for malfunction. Recent MRI studies confirm dogs process positive emotions remarkably like ours. The question isn't whether animals feel, it's whether we're finally ready to acknowledge it." Throughout history, troubled animal behavior has been diagnosed through each era's psychiatric lens. In Victorian times, Oliver might have been shot as mad. In the early 20th century, he'd be labeled with homesickness, then considered a potentially fatal physical illness. During the Civil War, 74 Union soldiers reportedly died from it. Consider Tip, an Asian elephant who arrived at Central Park as a docile celebrity. Yet Tip had likely been torn from his mother, endured brutal training, and suffered years of confinement. By 1894, following violent attacks on his keeper, Tip was executed with cyanide-laced bran. His skull remains at the American Museum of Natural History, a specimen representing a frustrated mind punished for behaviors stemming from severe restriction. John Daniel, a young gorilla, thrived with humans in 1920s England, but deteriorated rapidly when sold to a circus. Separated from his human family, he became depressed, refusing food and hiding under blankets. Despite his caretaker rushing to America, John died within 3 weeks. His story mirrors countless animals whose distress stems not from inherent pathology, but from severed bonds, conditions we once diagnosed in humans as fatal nostalgia, but now recognize as profound psychological trauma. Diagnosing animal mental health requires detective work without verbal communication. Veterinarians examine environment first, knowing poor conditions create psychological problems. Unlike human psychiatry, diagnosis depends on behavioral observation and drug response. Animals suffer nearly every human psychiatric disorder, PTSD in 9/11 search dogs, specific phobias of shadows, sunlight, even flies. Tufts Animal Behavior Clinic uses compulsive disorder rather than OCD, since obsessive thoughts can't be proven, though they likely exist. Daniel Qualiolathi at San Francisco SPCA notes cats thrive on routine. He identifies fast-lane cats who adapt quickly, slow-lane cats who hide for months, and middle-lane cats in between. depressed cats become lifeless lumps rather than hissing defensively. Individual history matters profoundly. Rara, an elephant raised at a Thai hotel, was taken from her mother as a calf to entertain guests. When she grew dangerous, she was chained until relocated to Elephant Nature Park. Having missed crucial socialization, she couldn't communicate with other elephants, instead preferring human company, especially white women resembling hotel guests, a poignant illustration of how early environment shapes identity itself. Walk through any zoo and you'll witness stereotypic behaviors everywhere. Gorillas rhythmically regurgitating food, animals plucking out their hair, creatures pacing endlessly. Despite exhibits designed to mimic natural environments, captive animals possess powerful instincts to run, swing, and hunt that cannot be properly expressed. Hair pulling affects approximately 1.5% of men and 3.5% of women in the United States, a condition called trichotillomania. This isn't uniquely human. Hair pulling occurs in 6 primate species and various other animals. Laboratory studies revealed that mice lacking the HOXB8 gene become severe self-barbers. When these mice received bone marrow transplants containing healthy microglia, many stopped overgrooming, suggesting connections between the brain's immune system and compulsive disorders. Temple Grandin notes that absence of stereotypic behaviors doesn't necessarily indicate happiness. Some animals may be too withdrawn to express frustration. Mel Richardson once examined a tree kangaroo at San Antonio Zoo that keepers believed was viciously attacking her babies. Upon observation, Richardson realized she was desperately trying to pick up her babies from the ground to protect them from humans, behavior that would never occur in their natural tree habitat beyond human reach. Charlie, a blue and gold macaw, endured multiple traumas, losing her human family, then bonding with another parrot who was stolen. She plucked herself bald except for a few head and tail feathers. Despite interventions, Charlie died after falling onto a metal stake. Her caretaker wondered if she had deliberately ended her life. Animal suicide has fascinated philosophers since Aristotle wrote of a stallion who threw himself into an abyss after being tricked into mating with his mother. The boundary between suicide and self-destructive behavior remains blurred. Rick O'Berry, the dolphin trainer behind Flipper, transformed after Kathy's death, the dolphin who most often played Flipper. Isolated in a steel tank, Kathy swam into his arms, stopped breathing, and died. "Every breath they take is a conscious effort," O'Berry explained. The pharmaceutical solution emerged. Psychopharmaceuticals developed for humans are increasingly prescribed to suffering animals. The pet pharmaceutical market exploded from $6.68 billion in 2011 to a projected $9.25 billion by 2015. Gigi, a 36-year-old gorilla at Franklin Park Zoo, became a psychiatric patient after repeated attacks left her trembling and refusing to eat. Xanax and Paxil reduced her anxiety. Relationships can heal where medicine fails. When 8-year-old rabbit Jeffy developed a massive hairball from obsessively chewing fur after his mate's death, rescuer Marinelle Harriman introduced him to another bereaved rabbit. Their friendship motivated him to eat properly, enabling recovery without surgery. For over a century, racehorses have been given companions, goats, rabbits, donkeys, roosters, cats, to calm their temperaments. Kentucky Derby champion Exterminator shared his stall with 3 successive Shetland ponies named Peanuts for 21 years. When horses are sold, their goats must accompany them. A horse that loses its goat is just bereft. Brian, a troubled bonobo at Milwaukee County Zoo, exhibited extreme distress, vomiting dozens of times daily, pacing constantly, self-harming violently. His trauma stemmed from maternal separation and 7 years housed alone with his abusive father. After 4 years of structured care and integration with calmer troop members, Brian began reading social cues correctly and eventually became troop leader. Years after Oliver's death, the author traveled to Baja, Mexico to meet the Balenas amistosas, friendly gray whales. once hunted nearly to extinction and called devilfish for their fierce defense of calves, these California gray whales now repeatedly push their babies toward boats, allowing humans to stroke them. The babies make sustained eye contact, their skin warm and squishy despite cold water. These encounters began in 1972 when fisherman Francisco Pacheco Mayoral experienced a whale gently lifting his boat. The whale's friendliness remains mysterious. They're not seeking food or barnacle removal. Remarkably, they only interact with humans in these lagoons, nowhere else along their migration route. Some believe their long memories allow them to distinguish between the peaceful present and violent past, perhaps even forgiving humans for the mass killings. This capacity for forgiveness offers a powerful lesson. In recognizing animal minds as conscious and feeling, we must reckon with our responsibility toward them. The question isn't whether animals deserve our compassion, but whether we possess the courage to fundamentally reimagine our relationship with every creature whose psychological landscape mirrors our own.